The scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 36. Read verses 1 through 10, Psalm 36. I know the sinful utterance of the wicked. No fear of God confronts their own eyes, because in their own eyes they are slick with talk about their guilt ever being found out and despised. The words of their mouths are evil and dishonest. They have stopped being wise and stopped doing good. They plot evil even while resting in bed. They commit themselves to a path that is no good. They don't reject what is evil. But your loyal love, Lord, extends to the skies. Your faithfulness reaches the clouds. Your righteousness is like the strongest mountains. Your justice is like the deepest sea. Lord, you save both humans and animals. Your faithful love is priceless, God. Humanity finds refuge in the shadow of your wings. The feast on the bounty of your house, you let them drink from the river of pure joy. Within you is a spring of life. In your light, we see light. Extend your faithful love to those who know you. Extend your righteousness to those whose heart is right. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, have you found yourself stumbling onto holy ground this week? Last week we thought about holy ground, all kinds of places that become sacred because you encounter God's presence there. Surprising places where the voice of God is heard, sometimes in power and sometimes in a still small whisper. Perhaps holy ground was made to sound like some kind of exotic getaway that would be a welcome change to the places where we find ourselves today. Like those enticing pictures filling the Facebook pages of sunny beaches as you sit hunkered down tracking the weather systems and wondering just how much longer until the Midwest is buried under a major snowstorm. Sure, those places might exist. It might even be a coping mechanism to endure the long winter stretching out before us to daydream about being there. But maybe that's all it is, daydreaming, wishful thinking. Doesn't seem like you can get there from here. Is standing on holy ground possible? What isolated corner might we have to go to encounter God's presence in the territory in which we now wander aimlessly? In fact, you might not be alone if you're beginning to ask yourself if anything is holy nowadays. Is God even present here? With expanding intrusion of evil and the encroachment of darkness, is there holy ground to be found anywhere? It leaves you wondering where you stand and how much more you can stand. The psalmists are a contemplative lot. They are prone to hearing the voice of God and responding accordingly, whether it be in the raging storm of Psalm 29 or beside the still waters of Psalm 23. They also clearly heard the utterance of the wicked as described in the opening verses of today's psalm. Powerful voices that rose in defiance of God and the character of God. The psalmist says these are evil and dishonest voices of those who have stopped being wise and stopped doing good. Through the incessant noise and utterance of the wicked, the psalmist knew where he stood. He knew he was still on holy ground, a place John Mogojab describes as a stable place of clarity and confidence in a turbulent human landscape of shifting values, crumbling hopes, frayed trust, uncertain commitments. While Psalm 36 may not be some glossy brochure or shiny website, it should be enough to entice all of us who want to find a stable place of clarity and confidence in our turbulent landscape. Here in the verses of this psalm, is the insistence that there is another reality, another way of being, another place, a place not only of survival, but a place that is stable, a place of clarity and confidence. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the next flight out. But where might our destination be found? This psalm, verses 5 through 10, tells us that our stable place of clarity and confidence is found in acknowledging and encountering the presence of God and being anchored and transformed by that encounter. The psalmist, encountering God's presence to him, means knowing the Lord's steadfast love and faithfulness, as well as righteousness and judgments. These are the key attributes that direct God's interaction with all creation. Furthermore, these are attributes of limitless abundance, extending to the heavens and the clouds, and are comparable to mighty mountains and the great deep. God's steadfast love is plentiful enough to include all people. The gifts of God offer us a feast and an invitation to drink as though from a river. The abundance of God is enough to overcome all the utterances of the wicked in the psalmist's world and in ours. In other words, the presence of God is beyond all limits, and encountering God is not about arriving at a specific destination, nor can we find ourselves standing anywhere that is void of God's presence. It's a matter of assurance that the character and voice of God prevail, that God still speaks and we are listening. Holy ground is a matter of knowing where you stand and maintaining a sense of stability and clarity, even in a turbulent landscape. It doesn't take some kind of quest to some distant place, whether that be a place you long to return to or a place that lies somewhere beyond us in our dreams yet unfulfilled. It might help, though, to have the direction of those who, like the psalmist, have refused to let the utterance of the wicked deny them the confidence that they are standing on holy ground. In his book, Falling Upward, Richard Rohr talks about what he calls wisdom seeing. He says, wisdom seeing is always sought to change the seer first, and then knows that what is seen will largely take care of itself. Whole people see and create wholeness wherever they go. Split people see and create splits in everything and everybody. That sounds a lot like being able to find a stable place of clarity in a turbulent world. How do we acquire wisdom seeing? How do we become whole people who create wholeness? We do so by not allowing the darkness to determine who we are or how we respond. When we see evil, we tend to become something we had not been. We allow the evil we see to make us angry or fearful, cowering in defeat. But that is not wisdom seeing. We must look more deeply and listen more intently as God speaks to us, reminding us of who we are and where we are. We must know where we stand. We are standing on holy ground, and we must refuse to allow the utterance of the wicked to bait us into forsaking that stable place of clarity where we know and encounter all the fullness and presence of our God, sheltered in the shadow of God's wings. Bishop Craig Loya of Minnesota said, "The forces of evil want us to meet anger with anger. We are going to choose to turn the world upside down with love, refusing to let the anger consume us as we hold each other in our heartbreak and then get on with the business of resisting with love, showing the world the good news of God's victory of love, which has already won." As long as there has been holy ground, there have been those who stand ready to invade it with the fullness of whatever power they may muster or claim to have mustered. God's people throughout the ages, Christians among them, have wept and mourned the loss of holy ground. The faithful have sought to reconsecrate and reclaim what has been defiled by the power and utterance of the wicked. It has never been easy. It must always be undertaken from that stable place of clarity and confidence. I found this interesting comment regarding the Hanukkah miracle of cleansing the temple after its desecration by Antiochus Epiphanes. Manifest signs came from heaven unto those that behave themselves manfully to the honor of Judaism, so that, being but a few, they overcame the whole country. What if overcoming the utterance of the wicked depends only upon us, being but a few, behaving ourselves to the honor of our God, whose character is steadfast love, faithfulness, and righteousness? What if knowing where we stand and standing our ground depends upon us, being but a few, honoring our Lord and making His compassion and love known in our turbulent human landscape of shifting values, crumbling hopes, frayed trust, and uncertain commitments? Saint Teresa was a 19th century French nun who lived a short and quiet life. She died from tuberculosis at age 24 and wrote an influential memoir that outlines a spiritual approach known as the Little Way. The idea is that Jesus does not expect us to do great things, but rather every small thing with the greatest possible love. Jesus does not expect perfection from us, but simply that we allow Him to love us in our imperfections and failing, that we in turn might love others in theirs. Bishop Loya tells us Saint Teresa offers a helpful path for us to walk when we face realities like the one we find ourselves in today. In the face of a moment that can feel overwhelming, the reality is that none of us can fix or save the nation, much less the world. But our smallness, being but a few, does not let us off the hook from bearing witness to Jesus' little way of love, which can and has and will indeed save the world. In fact, the church throughout history has been most vital, most faithful, when it has consisted of small communities practicing loving resistance from and with the margins. It has been most corrupt when it longs to be big and tries to cling to the center of power. When it comes to where we stand, let us stand always on holy ground, knowing and making known the presence of God's love.